The Harley Quinn show is amazing. Doom Patrol's amazing.
Yeah, these are things that now that I have access to the HBO Max, I'm thinking I might actually watch Doom Patrol, which is maybe even Titans. Haven't decided.
I'm gonna get around to Titans. Before I do that, I'm working on Babylon 5 right now because it's been one of those that I've always wanted to check out. I love J. Michael Straczynski.
Classic. But Titans is exhausting. It's not bad. It's actually rather entertaining to turn on the TV and see Hawk and Dove in full kit being Hawk and Dove, and it's trying to take itself just like so deadly seriously. I'd say watch Titans, but it is exhausting.
I definitely
take frequent breaks and hydrate.
Yes.
I'm gonna rewatch seasons one and two of Young Justice, and then watch season 3 for the first time before I even touch Titans, because I just like.
I ricocheted like straight from Teen Titans Go to Titans, and that shit gives you whiplash.
That is breakneck, I imagine. Yeah. Like, just like Robin doing the booty scooty to
Batman. Yeah.
Like, okay, Robin, you need to dial it back a little bit. You need to.
Actually, it makes it super entertaining because every time they try to make Robin like angsty or self-important or anything on Titans, you just think of like, oh well, this is the other side. Like he's bipolar, and half the time he's like this, and the other half of the time, booty scoot.
Well,
oh,
and
no,
you know
that would be the worst. Like if that were an actual person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
God.
Exhausting.
I think I've been that friend. Oh,
can
no.
Confirm. No. no. Anyway. Yeah. I don't know. I will see. That's just like I saw the first trailer for Titans, and I'm just like, oh, that's not for me. Like, I'll watch it at some point. Because I've been a Teen Titans fan for a long time, but you know, when I look at that, I'm just like, oh, okay, this is for someone I no longer am. Like
the trailer for the first season very much said that to me. Yeah. That I was like, I don't need this. I'm not invested in any form of Titans, right? Go, not go, this, whatever, the comics. I'm not invested in any of it. And I saw that trailer and was like, well, cool. I don't have to worry about that. And then the subsequent, like, season trailers that I just watched because I had nothing else to watch, like, YouTube was exhausted, would make me go, well, it seems like they've kind of turned that around. But
I don't know. I just, if you had asked me when I was like 16, if I wanted a Robin that was just like, fuck, I'd have been like, yeah, obviously, that sounds amazing. But now I'm nearly 40 and like, I need something more than that. And the trailer wasn't indicating much else. I mean, you know, yeah. The trailer was indicating like, hey, they're all here and it's fine. But like, as far as the actual substance of the show, the only hint I got was fuck Batman. And I'm just like, oh, that's yeah. Adorable.
And they really need to run with some of their more interesting aspects. Like this is a show where you get to see, oh my god, I've completely spaced on his name. What was the second Robin?
Jason Todd.
I hate him. Anyway, this is a show where you get to see a young Jason Todd get pummeled repeatedly, and he just becomes more of an asshole every time. It's majestic. This is a show where, as I said before, Hawk and Dove in their full glory. But the, its true crowning achievement is a couple of episodes where Robin hallucinates Batman. And so you get this, like, kind of made-for-TV Batman, but at the same time, you get Jorah Mormont playing Bruce Wayne,
okay,
doing the Bat 2C.
Okay.
And it is worth it, just for that moment.
Well, now I might actually watch it. It's moved up in the viewing order now.
Yeah, and then, of course, you spend the entire time just trying to picture Jorah Mormont in a bat costume. And, man, he's got a weak chin.
Oh.
I buy it. Still, I've got a lot of Babylon 5 to get through. Holy fuck. But, you know, I'm more on board now than I was originally. Originally, it was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. But, like, some shit's gone down that I'm like, holy fuck, man.
Well, like, and I mean, I completely agree with you in a, I'm nearing 40 and I don't want to do, I'm tired all the time.
Yeah.
I'm so tired. And I don't have kids. I just look at Twitter and become tired. And,
It'll do that.
Yeah. And all I want to do, like, that's why when, you know, folks younger than me, that are like, this isn't the way Batman, or, you know, whatever comic book scary, it needs to be grittier. And I'm like, no, I don't want grittier. I want dumb fun. Please. If I want to work really hard and feel really bad, I don't want to watch a comic book movie. I just want to, I will watch Wedding Story, or Marriage Story, or whatever that movie was from 2 years ago. And I don't need to feel bad while I watch comic book shit.
Well, and plus, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I have overcorrected in recent years in my estimation of Batman, where I've gone from, like, yeah, cool, Batman, all right, you know, there's mm-hmm. some stuff I like, to fuck Batman. And part of that is the fact that people shit on Superman in favor of Batman, which pisses me off and makes me go even further down the... It's kind of, you know, the whole thing about, like, you called me a Nazi, so now I might as well be a Nazi. It's like that, but for Batman. And it's... But also, it's just like, I've gotten so fed up with the whole, like, Batman can beat anybody. And it's like, no, he can't. He's a dude. He's a really effective dude who knows a lot, but he's still just a dude. And everybody's just like, no, if he had enough prep time, he could defeat God. And I'm just like, fuck you. Fuck you. And I'm like, you know, and I'm sorry. It's just, he's a billionaire who got so sad over his dead parents. He dressed up like a flying rat. Like, yeah, I can't take you seriously.
It really, though, it's the same thing as why people crawl up Elon Musk's ass.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. Oh, they're rich and oddly charismatic or / weird. And they're doing things that I wish I could do if I had more money than the legal system.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, It's I think it's a really bad sign about society that people are like, no, Batman's the best, because it's like, so you think that ultimately someone who's super rich should have the power to do whatever they want?
Well, but
not
only do whatever they want, but should develop technologies that could be better spent on something else to do this instead of, and we're getting, before we started recording, I was looking at Twitter and becoming tired, getting mad at Elon's specifically right now. Thinking about the tweet that's like, if we eat just one of them, they'll fall into line. And if we eat just one billionaire, they'll fall into line, believe me. And Batman could... JR and I have definitely talked about this before, and I think maybe we've even talked about it with you, Mickey, is if he took 10 minutes and spent $100 million, he could house the entirety of Gotham. And yeah. Like, that would be better for his ultimate war against crime than any of the Batmaning that he's done.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's the fundamental problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think what's amazing to me is Nightwing has the same tragic backstory as Batman, but is so much more well-adjusted and so much more fun to read because he's able to build actual relationships, which Batman hasn't been able to do since Frank Miller fucked him royally.
Well, wait, no. I haven't read as much Batman as you, but to me, this is a group of men, everyone who's held the Robin moniker, who has extreme daddy issues.
No, I mean, the thing about it is, like, it was always really interesting when we were working at the comic shop and Civil War was ongoing. We would talk about, like, well, if Civil War was happening in D.C., where would people fall? And I was firmly in the camp that Batman would be pro-registration.
Yeah.
And Nightwing would be anti.
Yeah. That seems right.
That's fair.
And because
Batman would believe, like, well, listen, if I build the system, it'll be flawless. And Nightwing would be like, no, you're just another rich person who's going to take advantage of people who don't want to be tracked.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, Nightwing, like I said, Nightwing is not perfect. He's got enough problems to make him interesting, but he's not the monomaniacal weirdo that Bruce is.
Well, and now that you say that, I am remembering that the reason he is Nightwing and not Robin anymore isn't just because he grew out of being Robin, because that's uninteresting. It's because he was like, yeah, we're kind of on different paths now, my dude. And I don't really want to be on your path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, we should talk about Shang-Chi.
Probably.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah. I mean, we can just talk about Batman for a while, like how hard he sucks, but, you know, I feel like we'd lose all three listeners.
If we released an episode titled What If Shang-Chi Worked for Fu Manchu the Whole Time, but then spent 20, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes talking about Robin, I actually think we'd do okay.
I think, yeah, if we put in, from this point on, 3 minutes where we discuss how this comic book was racist and the actual Shang-Chi eventually gets good, we could probably get decent hits.
All right. Well,
let's see.
Yeah. So
call us in.
Hello and welcome to this thing we've been doing called How Marvelous.
I'm Max.
I'm Mickey.
And I'm JR. How's it going?
It continues to spin.
So far, it's spinning, but it is also on fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of fires, and no end in sight. Hooray!
Yay.
Like, yeah.
I'm sure cooler heads will prevail, and eventually. Wait a minute.
What? How I'm fucking sure richer, naive are you?
Yeah, I'm sure richer people will prevail.
Yeah, no. I have decided that as the climate situation worsens, I'm just going to have to keep moving north because, like, the Midwest is about as far south as I could be to begin with.
Right.
And as it just gets worse, it's just, I was outside today for a little while and I'm like, I can't breathe. This air is too thick.
Well, date of recording is 8/9/21. I would not recommend going to North Dakota right now.
Right.
So.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend going anywhere right now.
Moving to North Dakota would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Or
but,
is it South Dakota? It's one of the Dakotas.
I don't know.
Well, either Dakota, really.
Well, either one, but Sturgis is happening and...
Oh, yes.
You know they're going to be strict.
Ooh, yeah.
All right.
Rule
followers. Bikers well known for maintaining...
Public health.
CDC guidelines. Like, yeah.
Did you just tell me what to do? Well, I will acquiesce to your request.
I will acquiesce to your... completely reasonable to request.
Let me tell you something, boy. I don't know.
So what I'm hearing
people,
really...
Are people from the Dakotas able to tell the difference? I mean, genuine question.
One is always snowy and the other is always like desert badlands.
Yeah.
So which one are... when you look outside, do you see dust or snow? Like, congratulations.
The Canadian knows American geography better than we do, JR.
I recognize that I know geography. I know that North Dakota is north of South Dakota. Like,
yeah, but like
that's orienteering.
Upper Canada is below Lower Canada. And Upper Kingdom of Egypt is below the Lower Kingdom of Egypt.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we don't follow those rules.
No. See, technically Alaska is below Hawaii if you look at a switchback Mercator.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can't prove to me that the world is not flat.
As soon as I Google what a switchback Mercator is, I will have a perfectly valid comeback to that.
I would not do that. Make sure that you write clean after it. It can go horrible if you let Google really go after that term.
You just described anything on Google. Like,
yes.
You know, the thing about it is, once upon a time, you could, like, enter... You had to be careful what you Googled, because it was just like, you know, you look up something perfectly innocent, but it's a euphemism for something horrible somewhere in the world, and suddenly your Google image search is just nightmares.
I like how that shifts though. It's an interesting way of tracking reality. So like in the late 90s, the internet was mostly made for porn. Then you would put in something innocent and get a horrible, horrible response. And then from about 2001 until probably 2006, you'd put something typically normal in, and then the NSA would spy on you and come to your house. And then after that, it went back to porn.
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what are we here to talk about?
Yeah, what are we here to talk about? What What If? Give me a creative rundown on this issue of What If.
So this time around, we are talking about What If Volume 1, Number 16, published in August of 1979, which has a cover by Rick Hoberg, and is written by Doug Mensch, penciled by Rick Hoberg, inked by Bill Ray and Dave Stevens, colored by Roger Slifer, lettered by Joe Rosen, and edited by Roy Thomas. This issue...
What if we could condense the entire comic book into one issue that actually draws out the origin story so we don't have to tell either?
It's what if we skipped all the good parts?
The thing about it is, like, at this point in time, What If is solely a marketing exercise.
Yeah.
It's similar to Marvel Team Up and Marvel 2-in-1 in that it's just kind of like, we might tell a good story. We'll see how this goes. But more importantly, here's a character you may not know. Yeah. Do you want to know more about them?
And it's for sure also, I was talking to someone about this last night, it is for sure also a whatever happens, our heroes are still heroes. Like,
by and large, yeah.
That's the story we're telling from their point of view, yeah.
Yeah, by and large, if what happens in these is either the version of them that is doing evil will die,
mm-hmm.
or they will see the error of their ways and wind up becoming the character you know in some way, shape, or form.
And Peter Parker will always become Spider-Man.
Yeah. Peter Parker will become Spider-Man, and, you know, he may have a bit longer learning curve. He may, like, fuck up, because there's an issue, a few issues from now, where they do that, and it's like, he does the whole, all the power, none of the responsibility shit, but then in the end, he's just like, oh my god, I've been so wrong, you know?
It's kind of fascinating how much this first run really adheres to that comic code authority, like the old classic comic code authority, where it's like, if they commit a crime or a sin, they have to be punished, or they have to learn their lesson and accept their punishment. Like,
right.
later volumes of What If will have, like, Captain America becomes president. Oops, he also institutes concentration camps. Womp womp. And, like, there'll be no lesson there except, like, you saw it! Now you can't unsee it! This, however, is, like classic 1950s, like, if only I hadn't, become evil, I would have been good? It's super fucking simple. But it's like that base morality of the 50s.
Yeah, and... So in this case, what sets us off on the different path, and I use the term loosely, is that as in Shang-Chi's first appearance, he's sent by his father to kill Dr. Petrie, and in this reality, or in the original reality, he is found mid-murder by Sir Dennis Nayland Smith, who says, your dad sucks, man. And Shang-Chi's like, no, he doesn't. You would say that, you piece of shit. And Sir Dennis is like, nah, look at my legs, bruh. And he's like, oh my god, those are fucking disgusting. And he's like, maybe my dad does suck. Here, Smith misses him. Like, Shang-Chi is able to do the deed and escape before Smith even comes in the room. But he's still, like, not happy about it. And he's still just like, isn't this totally against everything you taught me? And Fu Manchu is like, yeah, but like I also taught you, so maybe you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And
like yeah, I wish that the, like, most of these either don't commit or they commit way too hard. Yeah. You either end up with Shang-Chi arrived 5 minutes early, or Reed Richards is now a brain in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I wish this committed to anything. I would have loved to have, like, so they set up, from what I understand, Shang-Chi's a very naive character for a good deal of his history.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he really
doesn't
is.
Know shit.
He doesn't know shit about shit. He
doesn't understand anything about how the world works. He is literally, up until the moment that he kills Petrie and removes himself from his father's control, he then is desperate for any kind of structure because that's all that he's ever known as a character at this point. And immediately falls in with Nolan Smith, who drags him into a bunch of cloak and dagger shit with MI6, that he's like eventually kind of comes around to, like, this is overcomplicated bullshit. What are you doing? What are any of us doing? And, like, that's a fairly big growth moment alone for him. And he keeps trying to walk away from it, and he doesn't work. And
it's so rushed in this. When instead of rushing to get to the same status quo, all they needed to do for this to become beautiful is to simply allow him to stay naive. He kills the guy. Yeah. He goes home and he goes, "Father, I have killed him." And he goes, "Good job, son. Here's an ice cream.
Yeah.
Let's talk about getting you some facial hair."
And like, yeah, from a I've read all the books standpoint, that would have been fucking wild.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been like, oh shit. Because he's a very dangerous person. And to have him attached to, or he can be a very dangerous person, and have him attached to someone who is extremely dangerous in, like, their manipulation and all of that. Like, to have him just come back and be like, okay, who's next? Would have been terrifying.
Yeah,
Shang-Chi is basically, what if I grew a six-year-old, but they had guns for hands? Like, that's an incredibly dangerous combination, like, of like naivete and like sheer destructive power.
It's very much the meme of the vine of what's that you got? A knife. No.
All I can think of is, what if Ralph Wiggum had the death touch?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically
fair.
Now I wanna see somebody create a meme of Shang-Chi that's just like, I saw Mr. Reston and Miss Wu in the closet making babies, and one of the babies looked at me. but the thing is, yeah, I mean, it's really frustrating how, as I keep saying, they just keep reinforcing the status quo instead of really messing with it to amount to anything, because this issue is basically, at the end, you're right where Shang-Chi is after 2 years worth of issues.
Yeah, this comic is the equivalent of the, I believe, the Robert Frost poem, The Path Less Taken, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what people don't understand about that poem, it's not like, oh, forge your own path and you never know where it'll go. It's no matter what, you're going to end up in the same fucking place, and it doesn't matter. And this comic is that path, Less Taken path, because no matter what, you're still in the same fucking place.
Well, I think what my favorite part about the thing that people always miss with that is the fact that it's about a guy who, like, is addressing or is attaching such significance to the path he's taken, even though, yeah, he wound up at the same point, but he's like, the path I took made all the difference. And it's just like, why? You saw the same fucking forest. You stopped for a piss about the same point. Like,
and it's the path less taken, not the path not taken. Like, you didn't forge your own path. You just took a slightly underused path. Good for you.
You had to take a couple of more big jumps, and maybe there's a couple of logs in the way and shit. Congratulations.
And, and ultimately, that's really all this is just, you know, Shang-Chi in normal continuity took the path that kind of took him up a hill, and he had to do a little bit of climbing, maybe, and, like, you know, stuff like that. Maybe there was a really aggressive badger on the way that he kind of had to detour around and stuff like that, whereas this took him right to where he was going anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing that sucks, is that this doesn't do anything. The cool thing about the book that we've been reading on our other podcast is that it's a slower burn. The stories are sometimes terrible, but the character itself is a slower burn, to the point that I'm like, by the time that he gets to where, okay, I'm gonna join you even though I don't know that I trust you, it's just, I'm so much more on his side than I am here. That mm-hmm. it's just so abrupt. Like, mm-hmm. he goes through all of his character development. I'm looking at the pages again. He goes through all of the, like, I don't trust my father and he's bad, but also the system in the West is bad, while he's having a fight against everybody. And it's,
I mean, yeah.
That's a little unearned.
Yeah, the growth he goes through over the course of the actual series is like months of just his body being subjected to all this bullshit and all of these betrayals and all of these experiences of, like, oh my God, maybe I need to stop looking for father figures and all of this stuff. Whereas this issue, like, you, if you read it and you like it, go read Shang-Chi. It's about as racist, but bear in mind that this issue is the same basic thing, only over a long weekend. It's like, you know, Friday everything's fine, and Monday he's just like, I'm alone in the world and I have no one. And it's just like, fuck, man, I just watched The Sopranos a little bit. Like,
you might as well, but also if you read this and skip Shang-Chi or skip Master of Kung Fu, you're missing out on some, like, really awesome dudes pop out of the beach sand to try and kill him stuff.
I can't wait for that, because, like, so this was my actual first introduction to Shang-Chi outside of, like, seeing the trailer or a random comic in a bookstore.
Yeah.
And if this had been the first comic, like, that I had ever really heard of him, I probably would have passed it off, and it would have ended up in a pile of, like, ROM and ElfQuest, like, other shit from the 80s that I got for 50 cents.
Yeah.
Right. But there is a spark here where you can see the potential, and I'm interested, but holy shit, the amount of work it sounds like I have to put in to get to the point where it actually is worth it.
What did I say? We'd read 25 or so issues? No, more than that.
We're at 75, I think.
Oh, fuck. And the last time we read, it was 70 or so. There's this really quiet moment. A whole bunch of fucked up shit has just happened to him. Racism included. And he and Leiko, the romantic interest, take just one whole book to go to fighting class. And that's not the right word. I feel terrible for saying.
They go and spar in a dojo.
Thank you. And they go to the spar in the dojo.
Fighting
and then they go
class.
To a, I'm an idiot. I am an idiot. I'm an idiot. And then they go to a movie, and then they come home, and they talk, and they put together a puzzle.
They go see Star Wars.
And while they eat, I thought it was Wizard of Oz. Doesn't matter.
No, it was, I think they saw Star Wars, and then, like, Shang-Chi had seen Wizard of Oz recently, and so he's, like, sitting and comparing the two, which is big, like, dude who's only ever seen Boss Baby vibes.
And then they come home and they put together a puzzle while they eat pizza, and then at the end of it he has this, like, breakdown conversation with Leica where he's like, I don't want to do any of this anymore. Is this what... And it comes down to him basically asking her, is this what being a person in this society is like? And she just can't answer him, because to tell him yes would be to break him further. And luckily they're saved by an asshole in Blackjack Tar. The less that's said about him, the better. Calling and being like, I gotta drag you back into it. And he accepts because that's who he is. And it gets... And it's like this weird moment where he's accepting the job because it means that he doesn't have to think about the things that he was thinking about anymore. It's so fucking devastating. Like, the book is so, so good in these moments. Overall, it's the kind of thing that it's very much when you're talking about Shang-Chi, and I think JR and I have discussed this at length, you have to be like, it's so fucking good. Giant asterisk. Giant asterisk.
Yeah, because at the same time that you're getting all of this really interesting character development and all of this stuff about, like, how someone who has been raised to be nothing but a weapon can function in just everyday life, you then also turn around and it's just like, dang, Asians sure are exotic, mysterious, and pretty damn dangerous, aren't they? And you're just like, nope, don't want that. You can knock that shit right off.
And that's it. Exactly. If they just would eject all of that from the stories that they're telling, it would be great. Which is why I'm so excited for the movie, because all or mostly Asian creative team, all or mostly Asian cast and writing duo. I'm like, I cannot wait to see what people who have this lived experience, if they read the same comics that I did, take that character to me. That, and then, you know, move him into the 21st century. That's all extremely interesting to me. I want to know what that looks like, because I think it's going to be really fucking cool.
Mm. Yeah.
Have I overstepped my bounds yet?
No.
Frankly, I think that's the best thing that can come out of reading this issue, is to not be despaired and be like, you know what? Fuck Shang-Chi. I'm not going to watch it. I reject it. Goodbye.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is sort of it's an okay issue. The story is fine. The fights are pretty good. The art's pretty good, with the exception of the coloring. And the thing about the character is that I'm okay with the ending being like midway in what we've read, because that is the way that I actually want to see Shang-Chi. I want him to be this. I get what they're doing, but it's still like, from a what-if standpoint, I understand why it's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
It is, but, you know.
I always feel that if your what-if is less interesting, intriguing, or exciting, then we just gave them a rocket pack, Do better.
I love it.
That's honestly fair.
Yeah. No, I'm down.
Like, it would it be more interesting if he had a rocket pack? Yes, his kicks would be awesome. Okay, then fuck. That book beats this one shit.
His kicks would be awesome. Better mobility. Like, it's hard to see a downside to this.
Also, you'd get, like, a really fun one-page montage of him trying to figure out how to use a rocket pack.
And, you know, the thing about it is, the more time you spend explaining the rocket pack, explaining how he got the rocket pack, and more to the point, what he's going to do with the rocket pack, the less time there is for Blackjack Tar to call him racial slurs, and for Fu Manchu to just be, like, evil and exotic. And that's a net win.
Right? I mean, come on. If you can say that that rocket pack is from the Eternals, it's a perfect Marvel trifecta.
There you go.
Cool. So there we go. We've improved this issue. That's really what this show needs to be about, is, like, how can we make this better? And yeah. It's like, okay, what if Shang-Chi had remained loyal to Fu Manchu? No. What if Shang-Chi had a rocket pack?
Yeah. Honest to God, so... I know podcasts shouldn't reference other podcasts, but Mabim Bam started a new thing that was, would a sign help? Like, when they're answering user questions, they just ask if a sign would help the user. And I think that we could do something similar. Is, would a rocket pack improve this?
That's
if
fair.
Yes, if yes, well, then you didn't do too hot.
Yeah. Whereas you have issues where, like, okay, you brought Conan the Barbarian forward to the 70s. Rocket pack, not going to really change that much because you're already dealing with, like, disco and shit.
Yeah.
It's already a fish out of water situation. Like, all you're going to add to that at that point is just Conan careening through the story going, like, I don't know how to turn it off.
If we could do that as a volume 2 issue where Rocket Pack gets sent back in time.
Oh, that's fucking rad.
Awesome.
I was going to
say,
it depends on whether or not one of the waitresses at the disco gets the Rocket Pack so that she can successfully escape Conan.
Oh, and it just veers off and becomes her story for like 22 solid pages.
Oh, no, I don't hate that. I don't hate that.
I mean, we have to write a treatment for this now, right? Like, we have pitch it to Marvel. Okay.
God, yes.
I mean, they've got the Conan license back. Anyway, Shang-Chi. It's... I guess it's not a bad introduction to the character with all that entails. You get a condensed version of everything that happens to Shang-Chi in the course of several years. You know how much racism to expect going in.
Yeah.
The only bad thing about it is they don't really communicate how fucking annoying Clive Reston is or how awesome Lako is.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Yeah.
Pretty much everything else is present. So yeah, overall, I mean, it's fine. It's a disappointment. It's an okay issue of Shang-Chi, not a great issue of What If. Right?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
All right.
It's a middling issue of Shang-Chi with a... that's the thing, is I have to take y'all's word for what is a good issue of What If, because I'm the newbie, so,
when it comes
to What If.
So basically what we've got here is, Max, you're a newbie to What If, Mickey, you're a newbie to Shang-Chi, and I'm the only one who knows what the fuck's going on, overall.
I guess.
Awesome.
It's a good dynamic.
Awesome. Yeah. So really, I can tell you all whatever the fuck I want, and you just have to believe me.
You get to be authority on half the things, half the time.
Shang-Chi gets 2 rocket packs.
One for that, each fist.
That is what happens. Holy shit, how did you know that?
All right.
You know,
well,
some stories just have to go in one direction and they're fated to.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, next issue we're looking at what if Ghost Rider, Spider-Woman, and Captain Marvel were villains? So join us for that, or don't. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what the fuck to do.
I am your dad, and I am going to tell you what to do.
Oh.
Join us.
Oh, no.
I'm going to say intentionally ignore us and unsubscribe, just to be contrary.
Oh, shit. It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them. All right, well, bye.
Bye.
Bye.